this is week two of this. Last week, we kind of dove into this and we talked about temptation. Anybody out there besides me have temptations in life? Anybody? The rest of you are tempted to lie. That's cool. Anyway, but last week we kind of just talked about the basics of temptation. What it is, where does it come from, and how to battle temptation. And last week we said that our temptations are simply tests. They're tests. And we see this in James when he says, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations, for the testing of your faith produces patience." And our temptations and tests in life are simply that. They're tests. They're a test of our faith. They're a test of our commitment. And they're a test to our obedience to Christ. And, you know, when we see temptation from the right point of view, I believe that it'll actually be easier to battle our temptations. Because, and we're going to talk about this a little bit today on how we need to be viewing temptation. And we talked about it a little bit last week, and I want to kind of go in a little bit more depth today about it. And but we got to realize where our temptations come from. They come from Satan. We see that in the temptation of Jesus. Said that he was out in the wilderness and Satan came and he tempted Jesus. And so one place our temptations come from is from Satan. The other place is from our own selfishness, our own desires, our own sinfulness that we have. The Bible actually says that when you're tempted, do not say, "I'm tempted of God." Because God is not tempted by evil, nor will he ever tempt anybody with evil. And so, you know, a lot of people say, you know, "God's tempting me. God's testing me." That's not true. God cannot use evil to tempt you. And so we got to know where the battle's coming from. And lastly, we talked about how to handle temptation in your life. And I wish I had time to go into it all, but we've got CDs. We recorded it. So if you missed it last week and you want to listen, we do have a CD for you to listen to. We do have it in iTunes. Hopefully we'll soon have it on our website. We're working on that. But anyway, no matter what temptation is, we always handle temptation with Scripture. And we see this example in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. And that's actually the key scriptures of this series that we're doing this month is Luke chapter 4 and the temptation of Jesus. And every time Satan came with a temptation, Jesus always came back with, "It is written. The scripture says." And that's how we fight our temptation in life. Now, there's a little bit more depth to it that you can listen to last week's. But today I kind of want to start off talking about something we touched on last week. And God kind of dealt with me this week about it to go in a little bit more depth. Because I think it's really the key to understanding how we can battle temptation and be successful in it. And we're going to talk about that and also the first temptation of Jesus, where Satan came to him. You know, he's been fasting for 40 days and Satan says, "Turn these rocks into bread so you can eat." And so today, let me talk to you about a little bit of change in perspective on how we view temptation. Last week, I made the statement that we need to be living from victory and not overwhelmed in defeat. And we used the example last week of, you know, you watch the cartoons and you know, sometimes they have this big boulder rolling down the hill, you know, at one of the characters, and they're just like, no, you know, and they're just, you know, they either get flattened by it or, you know, they jump out of the way or something. And I believe that's the way a lot of people look at temptation, as it's the big boulder that's rolling down the hill about to crush you, and you just hope you survive. And I believe this is a wrong view of temptation, because, you know, Jesus on the cross gave us victory. Jesus on the cross gave us victory in life. See, what happened on the cross? The enemy was defeated at the cross. Sin and death were defeated at the cross. And so one of the sources of temptation, the enemy, is already defeated. See, we need to learn to fight from victory and not fight for victory. And this is kind of what I want to talk about for just a second. We need to be fighting from victory, not fighting for victory. Now, let me give you an example of this. One of my favorite baseball games of all time. 2011 World Series. All right, it's the Cardinals and the Rangers playing. Okay? This is real spiritual, I know, but you all bear with me here. Okay? I was watching this World Series. The Rangers are up 3-2. We're in Game 6. We just went back to St. Louis. Cardinals have to win out in order to win the World Series. And it was a battle. Game 6 was a battle. And it was back and forth, back and forth. It goes into extra innings. And it was just everything. It seemed like Cardinals would go ahead and the Rangers come back. And it was just back and forth. And the 10th inning, walk-off home run. Cardinals win. One of the best games that I've ever watched of baseball in my life. And ended up, Cardinals won Game 7 to win the World Series that year. See, the Cardinals were down 3-2. They had to win two in a row, and they did it. See, I was watching that game, and I was sweating. I was nervous. I was like, come on, you could do it. And I think lots of times in temptation, in the battles of life, we feel that way. We're just like, we don't know the outcome. We don't know what's going to happen. See, now I can go back and watch that game. I'm not nervous when I watch it now because I know how the game's going to end. I know how the series is going to end. The Cardinals are going to win it every single time I watch it. Because I've watched the game, I know the outcome. So now I can sit back and enjoy the game knowing the outcome. And see, this is what I mean that we need to be fighting from victory and not fighting for victory. Because we already know the outcome. We know that our enemy is defeated. We know that at the cross, Jesus paid the price. And we have victory in life. We have victory over sin. We have victory over death. And we need to learn to live in that victory and not fight for that victory. So many Christians are fighting for their victory and the victory's already won. They're struggling and they're nervous and they're just all eat up. When Jesus said, I've already overcome the world. He says, yeah, you're going to have to go through the battle, but know that I've already overcome. And we need to be trusting in Him in the victory. So we know that the enemy is defeated. We talked about where temptation comes from last week. It comes from the enemy. Where's the other place we said it came from? Our own desires. Our own selfishness. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. I skipped that first scripture and that's okay. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. It says, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by the means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable us to share in His divine nature. And listen to this, escape the world's corruption caused by what? Human desires. Now notice what this is saying here. Listen to how it's worded. It says, God has given us. Now let's take a little English lesson here. Is that present tense, past tense, or future tense? It's past, isn't it? He has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. We have received, past again, right? All of this by coming to know Him. And because of His glory and His excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. And this is what enables us to escape the world's corruption caused by human desires, the other source of temptation. See, we already have victory in both areas, over the enemy and over human desire. See, we've got to learn how to live in victory and not live by just barely making it by, or fearing what's coming down the line next. Because we know, we can read it in His Word, we know the end result. We know what happens if we stay faithful to Him. In the end, we win. In the end, we're victorious. But see, the thing is, we still have to go through the battle. we still have to fight. Just like the children of Israel in the Old Testament, God says, I have given you this land. He says, go and take it. He says, I've already given it to you. You just got to go take it. You got to go fight the battle. And as you fight, I'm going to give you the land. You know what? Those folks that came out of Egypt, they didn't trust him. And they didn't go into the land. It wasn't until all of them died off and their kids got to go in because they trusted in God to give them the victory. See, God had promised them all the way back to Abraham that you're going to have this land. I'm going to give you this land. And when the time's right, I'm going to give it to you. You're still going to fight the battle, but I've given you the land. You just got to go take it. Isn't that good to know? Isn't it good to know that when we fight, we have the victory? And so we don't have to worry if we're going to win or not? Okay. Just making sure. But it talks about the great and precious promises. See, God has given us great and precious promises in His Word. He's promised us that we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said that He's going to take everything in life and turn it for your good, for His glory. See, God has given us these promises. And when God promises something, He fulfills His promises. The Bible says all of God's promises are yes and amen. They're done. You can believe in them. But so many times we get in the middle of the battle and we forget to trust God. We get looking at the circumstances. We think, you know, these guys are bigger than us. There's more of them than us. He's a giant. How can I beat him? See, when David went to the battle, you know, the whole armies of Israel were scared of Goliath. David comes on the scene and he's like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine coming against the armies of God? Who does he think he is? Does he not know who we serve? See, David knew the battle was already won. And he was the only one man enough to step up and take on the battle. He showed up with a couple of stones and a slingshot against a giant. And he won. Why? He knew the victory was his. He already knew it. He had confidence in God. And he won. See, that's what we need to have in life when we face life's temptations, life's hard times, and the tests of life. We got to know that we've already won in Christ. That Jesus paid the price on the cross. And we just have to go take it. We just got to go fight the battle and win. That's all we have to do. Now that sounds real easy, doesn't it? It's still a battle. And you got to know how to fight. All right. So let's talk about this first temptation of Jesus. We find this in Luke chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 1 and I'll read through the first temptation. It says, when he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing at all at that time and became very hungry. Then the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. But Jesus said, no, the scripture said, people do not live by bread alone. Now, usually when I read this, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, he hadn't eaten in 40 days. He's hungry. Would it really have been wrong for him to turn the stone into bread? I mean, is that really something that's wrong? Well, obviously it is, otherwise it wouldn't have been a temptation. So what's going on in this verse of Scripture? What's actually happening? Because as we look at the temptations of Jesus, we can see the surface temptation that's happening. And this is true with every temptation in life, is that there's a surface temptation that's going on, but it's actually testing something deeper in your life. It's not just the thing being tested, but it's something deeper in you that's being tested. And that's what we're going to look at as we look at these temptations, is that, yeah, there's a surface temptation here, but what is it really going on here? Because this has more to do with being hungry and eating. And so what I want to do is I actually want to go back and look at the scripture that he quoted and see what was going on in that scripture to help us understand what Jesus was talking about and what Jesus was going to. And let me give you a little tip here. That when you're studying your Bible, most Bibles actually have this center column and these footnotes down here. Has anybody ever noticed those? All right. A lot of y'all might not know what that is, but what it is, as you're reading scripture, you'll see a little asterisk or little numbers or letters in there, and you can reference it back to this. All right. And this actually is connected to another scripture in the Bible. And usually when Jesus is talking, he references the Old Testament a lot. And what this does, it helps you to reference what's going on, and you can find deeper understanding on what's going on in the scripture. Because lots of times we don't understand because we don't live in that culture. You know, we weren't there, and so we don't understand the context of what's going on. And this helps us to understand. So if you're studying and you want to go a little bit deeper, that's one way that you can do that, okay? That's a little side note. You don't have to pay for that one. That was just for you today. All right, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to follow that little footnote and go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we're going to see the scripture that Jesus quoted and see exactly what was happening here. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. It says, "Be careful to obey all the commands I'm giving you today." This is the chapter, about three chapters ago, he gave the Ten Commandments. And Moses is beginning to share the commandments that God gave him on Mount Sinai. And so this is Moses talking. He said, "Be careful to obey all the commands that I've given you today. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you will obey his commands." Now, remember, we were talking about temptation, what it was. It's a test of your faith, your commitment, and your obedience. See, this was a test of their obedience to see if they're going to trust in God. And unfortunately, this group of people didn't. And so they had to spend 40 years wandering around a desert. Does anybody feel like life's like that? You're just kind of wandering around a desert thinking, where is this going? What is going on here? You might need to check and see what's going on in your life. But because they didn't trust in God, they had to wonder. That was about a 3 to 4 week trip across that desert. And they spent 40 years there because they didn't trust in him. They trusted him to bring them out of Egypt, but they didn't trust him to bring them into the promised land. How many of us trust God with our salvation, but we don't trust him to bring victory in our life? That might be why you're wandering around in the desert. Why it doesn't seem like anything's going on. Because you're not trusting him for that victory in your life. Verse 3. "Yes, he humbled them by letting them go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." All right, so now we're getting some insight on what this temptation was about. Because the test was with physical food. And I think lots of times we get so caught up worrying about the daily stuff that we need. And we see this, you know, even in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, you know, the Lord's Prayer, he said, "Give us today the food that we need." And I think lots of times we get caught up in worrying about everyday life. You know, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Am I going to be able to pay my bills? Am I going to be able to do this? Am I going to be able to do this? And we get so caught up in everyday life that we forget to include God in our life. And see, I believe this is part of this temptation that Jesus was going through. Because Jesus could have easily turned those stones into bread. He could have done it. But I think the test here, one of the tests was, is Jesus going to use what God gave him for his own selfish desires? I believe that's where the real temptation was. Is Jesus going to use what God gave him, the power? I mean, he just got filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, he is anointed and he is empowered to do what Jesus did for 3.5 years. He was anointed and empowered at that time. He could have done that. But was he going to use that for his own selfish desires? Or was he going to trust God to provide him something to eat? See, I believe this is the real temptation. Is Jesus going to handle business himself, or is he going to trust in God to handle the business? See, I think we do this a lot in life. Because when I was in college and when we first got married, let me tell you something, we had to believe God for every single thing in our life. We had to believe for the bills to be paid, for the car payment, and all that stuff. And I'm so thankful that we went through that. Because we truly learn what it means to be completely dependent on God for every single thing in life. But you know what? We graduated. We got better paying jobs. All of a sudden, we didn't have to so much worry about if the bills are going to get paid, if I'm going to get to eat today or not. And I think the temptation here is that lots of times we get to a place where we don't have to depend on God for everything anymore. And so we forget to depend on God. We say, God, I've got this. God, I can handle this part of my life, but I'm still going to give you this. God, I can handle this, but I still need help in this area. And lots of times we don't go to God to trust in him until we hit the crisis mode. And then all of a sudden we're like, God, I need your help. I thought you had this. And see, are we trusting in our own talents? Are we trusting in our own gifts? Are we trusting in our own hard work? Are we trusting in our jobs? Are we trusting in our own paycheck? Or is God our provider? Is God our source? Let me ask you something. Who gave you your talents? Who gave you the ability to work? Who gave you your mind? Who gave you that job? It was God that provided all that for you. See, no matter where we are in life, we need to be trusting in God for everything. Give us this day the food that we need for today. If we look in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, he kind of continues this thought. He said, that's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Verse 31. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. And live righteously. And he will give you everything you need. See, we need to have a change in perspective in our lives. See, we get worried and caught up in the daily life. And the daily needs and the daily things going on. And we worry about, are we going to be able to eat today? Are we going to be able to pay our bills? Are we going to... He says, hang on a second. That's not for you to worry about. He said, your job is to seek the kingdom of God and live righteously. He said, I'm going to add all this stuff to you. I'm going to take care of you if you take care. See, Jesus said something when he was a boy. You know, he was 12 years old. They went to Jerusalem to celebrate. And he was in the temple. And he was talking to the teachers of the law and everything. And his parents lost him. And they already was heading back home. And they had to come back to find him. And Jesus made this interesting statement. He says, I was about my Father's business. See, we need to be about our Father's business. See, as we take care of our Father's business, God's going to take care of our business. It's such a temptation to try to take control of our lives, to try to make things happen for ourselves. When God's saying, I can take care of that. I've got bigger things for you to do than to make money and to pay for your house. I've got bigger things for you to do. Said, there's some people hurting. There's some people dying and going to hell. I need you on that business, and I'll take care of your business. Oh, so you're saying I can quit my job? No, that's not what I'm saying. Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. So I suggest you get working on something. But see, God can use your job. He can use your profession to reach people who are lost and hurting. Because more than likely, you work in a place where someone doesn't know Jesus. And if when you're at work, all you're thinking about is making some money, working a little bit of overtime, you know, making sure I get that promotion, then you're about the wrong business. Because you're missing the whole reason why you are there, is to reach out to those hurting people. See, God will put you in the right place at the right time. But if you're not about your Father's business, then you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss the whole reason why you're here. Because you're worried about paying for that boat. See, the temptation that Jesus faced was more than about being hungry and being food. It's about who do you trust? Who's your source? Who are you looking to meet your needs? And see, the sad part about it is, lots of times in life when we get to that point to where we feel like we can do this on our own, you know, that I can take care of this part of my life and I'll give this part to you, is that kind of seeps into our spiritual life as well. I don't know about you, but I need God in my life every single day. I can't make it one day in life successfully without Him. Like those days that I don't read my Bible and I'm not in the presence of God, I can tell. The people around me can probably tell too. And see, that tends to seep into our spiritual life to where, you know, God, I can take care of this. And so we quit depending on God spiritually. And when you try to do spiritual life by yourself, that's proven to fail every time. We need Christ. We need the cross. We need that victory. And so we need to be in the presence of God every single day. We need to be in God's Word every day and just reading and studying. We need to be fellowshipping with Him. We need to be worshiping Him. See, that keeps us humble and in the right spot for us to be seeking the kingdom of God and living righteously so that He can take care of the daily stuff. See, we got to be careful. We got to be careful that we always see God as our provider, that He is our source. Because anytime we think that we can do it, you're setting yourself up to fail. You're setting yourself up for a big failure. And so just like Jesus said, it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but out of every mouth that comes out of, from every word that comes out of the mouth of God. We need to be getting the word of God from straight from the mouth of God. I think too many times we were relying on somebody else to teach us. You're waiting for Sunday so you can come and be taught something about God, so you can learn about God, but you're hearing it secondhand at that point. I don't know about you, but I don't fully trust myself to be 100% accurate in everything that the Bible says. See, if you're depending on someone else for your spiritual growth, then you're just having secondhand knowledge. You can be led astray. Now, I would never purposely lead anybody astray, but there's a chance that I could be wrong about something. And if you take my word blindly, just as the truth, then you're in trouble. See, anything that you hear, whether it be in church, whether it be on TV, whether it be your friend, whoever, I don't care who it is, you always need to go back and check it against God's word. You always need to go to God Himself. We live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. If you're not hearing words come from the mouth of God, then you're in a scary place. See, that's why it's so important to be in His presence, to be in fellowship with God. Because God's got something for you. See, we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When we're at work, when whatever in life, we need to learn to be sensitive to the voice of God in our life, to lead and guide us. Because if we're just depending on what we can do in studying and what we can do in our finite thinking, then we're not going anywhere in God. We're never going to grow in Christ. See, it's not my job to make you grow spiritually. It's my job to encourage you. It's my job to help equip you to do what God's called you to do. It's your job to grow in that. It's your job to go and do that. Not my job. It's my job to do what God's called me to do. It's your job to do what God's called you to do. And if you're not spending time with Him, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know where you're going. It has to be from the mouth of God. But hopefully God is speaking to your heart tonight or today. It's our prayer on every service that the Holy Spirit speaks to each and every heart. It's not so much important what I say. It's important what the Holy Spirit's saying to you. Prayer team, if you can go ahead and get in position here. And it's my prayer that God spoke something to you today. Because I know I'm guilty of this temptation where, you know, I control what I think I can control and give God the rest. I'm so guilty of that. And I know I need to make changes in that area. And today we're going to open this up for prayer. I mean, for whatever reason that you have, if you need someone to pray with you and someone to encourage you, that's what they're up here for. And it's my prayer that you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you today, to encourage you today to take the right steps. Father, we thank you for today. God, thank you for speaking to our hearts. God, I pray that we have ears to hear what you're saying to us. God, help us to put aside our pride and our selfishness, God, and be obedient. God, as the tests of life come, as they're testing our faith and our commitment and our obedience to you, God, I pray that we face them humbly and face them from a point of victory, the victory of the cross. Father, we thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.